Welcome to Fielding Questions, a podcast produced in collaboration between Ag Country Farm Credit Services and the Red River Farm Network that explores the world of farm finance and rural life. Our guest, Rob Fronding, Vice President of Insurance and Commodity Marketing Education. And Rob, certainly a lot of attention on a flurry of reports out from USDA this week. Not enough to give this market a huge rally, but generally these numbers seem to be pretty supportive.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. We saw a pretty good reaction when it came out here yesterday, and we saw a little bit less than expected as far as our total production, and ending stocks decreased as well. So got a little excitement going on and got a little bit out of that. And, of course, we with that usually see some profit taking on the next day. But, it's got some excitement going around with this market.
These ending stocks, they were tighter for corn, soybeans, wheat, at least tighter than what trade expectations were. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, that was the one thing that kind of caught them off guard. I think a lot of the expectations were that we were going to stay with previous reports or even increase a little bit with ending stocks. And the fact that they got a little bit tighter. Now, the way they got a little tighter is a little bit unique, where we decreased some acres on the corn, even though we saw an increase in the yield. Overall, our overall supply decreased, and eventually that led to ending stocks getting tighter as well. So, you know, it's hard to know, and once these numbers are out here now, they're pretty much final. They're not going to change too much as far as some of the yield numbers and production. So it'll be interesting to see how the market reacts now to exports and domestic use, and then back to a little bit of a weather market, watching what happens in South America as they are getting closer and closer to harvest time as well.
You speak of South America. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange had a report out on the same day as the USDA numbers. CONAB did too, for that matter. But Argentina, according to the Buenos Aires report, said they're going to see the smallest soybean crop in more than 10 years. We know they're dealing with a drought, but that's a pretty big drop off there.
Yeah, and that's definitely going to look to help us as Argentina reduces their numbers here as well. And I believe it was on corn and soybeans, if I'm not mistaken. Both of those were decreased due to that drought that's ongoing down there. So not sure if they'll be able to get that back. So it'll be interesting to watch that as we continue to go up through their growing season. I think Brazil, if I remember right on the one report, their soybean actually went up. Their numbers went up a little bit, and they're actually having a very large crop relative to Argentina. But I think they actually reduced their corn. And now, again, we still have to get a lot of that corn planted in the Safrina crop coming. But their earlier projections here now, they actually decreased a little bit on the corn as well, which is favorable for us.
Certainly this report, a lot of numbers, so a lot of focus on where this all came together. What besides South American weather are we going to be looking at as we move forward here?
You know, I think right now that's probably one of the main focuses is South America right now. We've got this as far as our production numbers, and we're at there. Obviously, exports as well. Something I'm continuing to watch. You know, soybeans, the last 3 years, we've continued to kind of decrease our exports, and I think that's something that we're hoping that demand comes back. And so kind of keep an eye on that. But, you know, right now this time of year, it's a little bit pretty much focused on South America, what's going on there, and then also political. And we all know how fast something can happen in another country or even in our own that could change the influence of demand on what we got going on.
Of course, our farmer customers are all in that planning phase as well. Particularly after last year and the wet start we had, it looks like this could be a pretty big corn year.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, that's kind of what the market's bidding for, and so that could get exciting as we start getting closer into a planting season. As everybody's making their plans right now, figuring out what it is, it's really looking to favor corn, possibly, with where, even though our expenses are a little bit higher with the inputs, I think that softening here a little bit has also helped get some excitement on possibly some more corn acres. That's another thing that I'd say to be watching once we start getting closer to the planting time. Will the soybean market come back and bid for acres? And will there be something there that they're going to push possibly corn to try to get some of these acres as we continue to get tight on the soybeans?
The region that we're in, we're blessed. We've got a lot of different crops that we can grow in this region. Do you see that acreage decision gets held off a little later in our part of the world just because of that?
You know, I think that for the most part, in our area, it does get held off a little bit just because of, we also have that other crop that we don't usually like to talk about called prevent plant. And that definitely can influence what we end up doing here in the spring. But, yeah, I mean, I think most of our guys up here are adept enough that they can make that change later in the year. And I think they do that. And I'm going to say because some of that with the prevent plant that can come around and how fast that can hit us and we need to make adjustments. But, you know, we had the with fertilizer prices and stuff, we probably didn't see the fertilizer go down that we expected as well. And when we don't see that the nitrogen get applied, we know that those acres can easily flip from one crop to the next without that sunk input of that cost. So it's going to be a fast-paced spring, I think, because of that, because to get the corn acres that a lot of people are talking, we're going to have to get that fertilizer down in the spring as well. So that could create some challenges, but also allow for some opportunities, as you mentioned, if we're looking at switching some crops, depending on what the market's doing.
We're all about managing risk. Of course, the month of February is pretty important to us as it relates to crop insurance. Are there things we can do between now and the end of February when we know what where we're going to be sitting there?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, crop insurance is the prices are determined here in February. So I think definitely looking at what your plan is for this spring going into planting, kind of get that in place and working through that, working through with your suppliers, making sure we can get all of the supplies, the inputs and stuff like that. With the Mississippi River continually being a little low, it's come back here a little bit. But if that continues to come up, we're going to hopefully get this fertilizer back and we shouldn't have any problems. And right now I would say just get your plan in place, but be ready to adapt and be flexible once we get into February, see where these prices are at, figure out where insurance is going to land. You know, there are some other insurance products out there that you can lock in sooner than February to get some of these prices. So if you really do want to do that, there are some options out there that you can reach out to your insurance agent and ask them about how do I lock in today's price and not have to wait till February. Then you can have that plan ready to go.
Rob, the Ag Secretary also out with some announcements this week, including dealing with the emergency relief program phase two. In our region, a lot of farmers were able to participate in phase one. There's payment limits in here. Will they be able to get a shot at some of these shallow loss payments?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is the ones that got paid on phase one, they held out and only paid 75% of that payment, and with the remaining 25 possibly being paid in phase two, depending on funds and availability. You know, the new program, or I shouldn't say new, it's the same program, just another phase. Going into phase two is looking at your tax returns and trying to help cover those who didn't qualify for phase one. So it'll be interesting to see how many new people qualify for phase two for those shallow losses and get paid, and what does that do for the funding? If I remember right when I looked, you know, it's a $10 billion program, and we'd already paid out 7.2. So we almost paid 75% of the available funds already out. And so I'm thinking if there's still quite a few people that will qualify in phase two that didn't in phase one, I'm a little nervous about how much that 25% we're going to get for those producers who did qualify in that phase one. If they'll get the remaining 25% or not, I'm not sure.
A lot to be looking at this time of year. Rob, we always appreciate the chance to connect.
I appreciate it as well. Thank you very much.
Remember, if you have a question about a financial topic or something you'd like to hear about, you can send Ag Country a message on Facebook. You can check in with them on Twitter or submit your question using their website. That's agcountry.com.